You're going to see something a little bit different this morning. If you're a first-time guest, I want to welcome you. My name's Mike Scan. I'm the lead pastor here at Epic Life, and you've joined us at the conclusion of a powerful series that we've titled Broken. And so we're going to take a look at this word here in a minute and really understand, man, that, let me tell you something, guys, there's a misconception within the body of Christ that God is this this cosmic killjoy, that he's up there, and when you mess up, he's right there, man, to make sure that you get your due. But I have a problem with that because I have a relationship with a very loving Father. Matter of fact, the Bible says this. The Bible says it is the love of God that draweth people to repentance. It's not the ugly stick. Now, I know some of y'all look in the morning and you look in the mirror and you think you got hit by that ugly stick. Okay? I get it. It's okay. Praise God. You know, some of us are talents in different areas. All right? That's all good. But God's not the one that does it. God's not after, let me rephrase that. God is after you, but God's not mad at you. You know, it's not a surprise when you don't do everything right. It's not a surprise when life doesn't work out for you. It's not a surprise that, you know, you did things that probably altered the direction of your life, that maybe things that you didn't want to do. That's what I love about our church. You're going to start hearing me say a phrase a lot lately and a lot more, and that is Epic Life as a church with real people. There's not a person going through this at any one of these tables this morning that is not going through or have been through or will go through something that just, you know, it just sucks. Life sucks sometimes, doesn't it? It just, stuff happens. That's why we're a church of real people. Because I want you to know, I'm going to give you permission this morning, guys, as we get ready to conclude this series on being broken. I'm giving everybody permission, listen to me, to not be perfect. It's okay. You can come in here and be real. You can come in here with your marital problems and we're going to love you. You can come in here with your financial difficulties. We're going to love you. You can come in here with your relationship. You can even come in here, maybe not tell everybody out there, I don't know, but you can come in here with your addictions. You can come in here with your habits. You can come in here with your hurts. You can come in here broken. But what does that word really mean? See, I think the word broken has been misused in the world and in the church. Now, in the world, when you think of a word, that word broken, what the word broken means out there in the world, it's kind of like a stud horse, or a, you know, this horse that you're going to use in the rodeo or something like that, right? You put on the saddle, you put the bit in his mouth, right? And then you jump on this thing that's not used to being rode, right? And you hang on, man, and you pull back on that bit and you kick in them spurs and you ride until finally the spirit of that horse is so broken that it gives into the bit. It gives into the rider that's on the back of that horse. I believe this, there are people that live the Christian life that think that's the way God operates. That God has got this bit in our mouth and a saddle on our back, and if we do anything that's wrong, man, he kicks them spurs in. He needs to teach me a lesson. And so what happens is, what we've been talking about and discovering is that God wants to have relationship with us. And in that relationship that he wants to have with us, he wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate to you. And last week we talked about hearing the whisper of God when God whispers. And I'm so, man, I heard some great, great stuff. I'm going to mention just a couple. One that I'm going to brag on, and he's not here, so I can brag on him because he's my son. So I can do that, right? To hear him come to me, and most of you that know Caleb, and say, Daddy, my father, first of all, that was cool. He wasn't referring to me. Called me into ministry. He said that I was going to be a witness and I was going to win people to Jesus through what he likes to do. He's a power lifter and muscle head. You know, that's what he does. No offense, Matt. Love you, brother. That's our other muscle head, brother. Praise God. But that's what he does. He didn't understand it until he asked the Holy Spirit a question. He said, how is that possible? Isn't that what we ask God when God calls us to do something kind of like out there that we can't even imagine? And he said, just follow me. Another person had shared with me that God had spoken to them last week and told them to do something that was very difficult for them to do. And they in faith did it. They stepped out in faith to do what the Holy Spirit told them to do. See, God wants to have this relationship with us. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk through you. See, the whole idea of epic life is that we're just real people who understand a real love. A real love. See, it's the love of the Father that draweth us into repentance. It's God's love. Listen to me. The reason why, can I preach for a second? All right. The reason why some of you are still stuck in your place, you're stuck in your life, maybe you're stuck in a habit, or you're stuck in a hurt, or you're stuck in a relationship struggle, or the reason why is because you do not understand the love that God has for you. Because I'll tell you what happens. When you encounter the God that I know and the relationship that he wants to have with his people, you don't want to go back to that life. You don't. When I had a collision with my Heavenly Father at 2 o'clock in the morning in a prison cell, a real prison cell, by the way, if you're a first-time guest, it was real. Praise God. Your taxes paid for it. So it's your fault. No, I'm kidding. When I had a collision with my Father and I prayed this prayer, I said, make me into the man that you've called me to be. You know what happened to me? I became a broken man. Because I came to my Father, he showed me his love, and in humility, I surrendered my life to him. That's God's definition of brokenness. It's not God up there trying to beat us up, church. It's not God mad at you and man, if you do this or you do that or you do this, he's going to get you. That's not the relationship that our Heavenly Father has or wants with his people. See, if he wanted that kind of relationship, kind of a dictatorship type relationship, he would just made us angels. Because see, that's the relationship of angels and God. God says, go, they go. God says, come, they come. That's God's, God gives an order and they obey it. And the one time that it didn't happen, hell broke loose in heaven, literally. Because a guy named Lucifer decided he wanted to take over heaven and do things his way, and a war broke out, and 2/3 of the angels fell from heaven down to the earth. And now because a loser doesn't like being alone, he lies to people that God is mad at them and not mad at him. There's a lie that we've bought into that God is mad at us, and he's not. It's so far from the truth that God wants relationship with you. Experiencing the love of the Father, man, will bring freedom into your life. And understanding this truth, Pastor Mike, why do you talk about this all the time? Because people still haven't got it. They haven't connected the dots and realized that Dad loves them. God wants a relationship with you. Even right now, he knows your thoughts. Even right now, there are people in this room that are thinking a few things. One is, what time we're going to eat. I know that. Okay, shut that one off for a second. Some of you are thinking, not me. He can't love me. Some of you are going, how? Some of you are thinking, why? Why would he want to love me like this? Because he's God. And he's able to do that. He's able to engage that type of love into your life so that you can live the life that you're created to do and created to live. That's our vision, purpose, real purpose. So we're a church that experiences, that has real people. We're a church that has real love. And we're a church that experiences real purpose. I was thinking about that word purpose at the end yesterday, as we were driving back and forth to Jubilee. I was thinking, it's interesting how people think their job is their real purpose here on earth. That's so far from it. Career choice is your career choice. Yes, God will influence you and use you in your, that could even be your ministry. But our purpose goes right back to those two statements. It's to be real with people and to show real love. A real love. Real love is ugly. Real love is dirty. You got to deal with real people's problems. You got to deal with the junk and the funk. You've got to deal with the ugly people. We got to deal with the ugly side of life. Love is not easy. Love, real love, it's not easy, church. If you don't believe me, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because it talks about all this really cool stuff, man, that you're doing this and you're doing that. And he says, you know what? That's not love. That's just a lot of noise. It's a lot of symbolism. We can come in here and lift up our hands and walk out and be the ugliest people in the world and talk bad about each other and talk bad about people and not pray for people, not love on people. Real love is really, really ugly. Isn't it amazing, though? The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, God died for us. Jesus died for us. That's an ugly love. Because he knew my every thought. If he knows my every feeling and emotion sometimes that I have, would he really would have done that for me? Yeah, he already knew. He already knew. In 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17, there's a passage of scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along because there's not going to be any notes up here today. I want you to pay attention this morning. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, word liberty means emancipation. From bondage, freedom. When you understand the Spirit of God and you allow that Spirit to empower your life, and that's an act of surrender, because you've experienced the love of the Father, now you say, you know what? I want that kind of love inside me. And the Bible says that when that happens and we allow the Spirit of God to rule us, that's brokenness. The word broken means to be in a position to be used by God. Here, look at this. Look at Daniel. Daniel was an amazing guy that was used by the kingdom of God, but there's a place in his life where he had to say, you know what? Who's running things? And so he humbled himself, and then he got thrown into a den of lions being tested by a king. But because he was broken and he knew that God loved him and that God was looking out for him, he was able to go into that. And when the king came out, who really liked Daniel, ran out there the next morning, hollering Daniel's name. There he was in the dead of a lion, alive. Said, hey, man, don't worry, king. I'm right here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some of y'all Sunday schoolers remember that, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were broken. They had a broken relation. It was so amazing to watch these guys because they were commanded to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. And they were friends. King Nebuchadnezzar liked these young men. But I said, you know what? Nah. We know the God that we serve. We know our daddy. And look, you can throw us in this big old furnace. You can toast us. But we know him. We're not going to serve you, Nebuchadnezzar. So most of you know the story. If you haven't, it's a great, great story. Nebuchadnezzar, because even though he loved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he loved these three young men. The problem is he got tricked into signing a declaration that if people didn't bow down to him, because other people didn't like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they should be killed. So King Nebuchadnezzar, not to look bad in the public's eye, I'm preaching a message here for somebody. They didn't want to look bad in front of other people. He had to do what was right in the world's eye and throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He tied them up and threw them into this furnace. Of course, we know there's a happy ending, praise God. He looks down and in the midst of the furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar looks in, he goes, didn't we just cast three into there? And the guards are like, well, yeah, we just threw three in there. Well, I see four. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. Relationship. a father that loves them. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were broken. They knew that they had a bigger purpose. They understood that God was bigger than no matter what they were going through in their life. Their God, their Heavenly Father, was bigger. That's the idea of being broken. It's not God's out there going, mess up, dude. I will pounce on you. It's not that at all. It's that we put ourselves in a place, in a state that the Spirit of God can use and mold us and create us and help us fulfill the purpose that God has for us in our life. That's being a person of brokenness. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to. You're going to miss it. We talked about listening to the Holy Spirit. What happens if you miss? You miss. You get up and you do it again and you walk again and you walk again and you walk again and you live the life that God has called you to live, that God wants to live in and through you. See, understanding God's love for us, that he's not trying to teach us a lesson. And when we understand the love of God and have come to a place of brokenness, it frees us to live the life we're created to live. The reason why we cannot live the life we're created to live is because we cannot grasp in our infinite minds. We cannot grasp how much love that he has for us. And you'll know people that get it because as they get it, their lives completely transform. There are people in this church right now that for the first time they came to church and they heard the message of hope and freedom and they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've been baptized. Now they're being filled with the Holy Spirit and you ought to see the amazing things that are happening in their lives. We have people right here amongst us today that we've watched God transform their life because they understand Daddy's not mad at them. The word Abba Father means Father, Father. It's an intimate word meaning daddy. We get to have this relationship with our Heavenly Father because of the love that he has for us. We don't have to fear God. God's love goes beyond anything that we feel. In Psalms 86 and 5, it says, "For you, O Lord, are good, and you're ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever." I'm reading at the Amplified Version. "You are abundant in mercy, loving kindness to all," say all, "who will call upon you. He is willing and ready." But for what end? Why is a Heavenly Father who created mankind, that mankind has rebelled against, why would he be so ready to embrace us? I would retort with another question. Why would you do that to your own child? For your child to abandon you or look at you and say, "I don't want what you have, I don't want what you are," and they go away, they live their life, but something happens and they turn and they come back to you. Love. But there's a love so greater, even greater than that human love that we give to our own children that the Heavenly Father has for us. Being broken does not mean whooped. Being broken does not mean that our spirits are destroyed. He's willing and ready so that we can be more than conquerors in this life, released to live the life that he has created us to live. God created, Corey and I were talking about this yesterday, and what an amazing truth that we have been created for worship. But you know something? Some of you today, and it's okay, were here worshiping. Your hands were in your pocket. That's okay. It's okay. Some people do worship that way. And I can share you a story of how that happened before. But for the most part, many of us don't worship because we haven't experienced that love and our hands are in our pocket. We're not free to lift up our hands. Or you got a broken wing like I've got. I can only do one right now. So, all right. But we don't worship God because there's something inside us that says we're not worthy. We're not good enough. What will other people think? When you discover the love of the Father in your life, you won't care what other people think. Think about this for a moment. And I'll debate this. When you, for married couples, you didn't even be married, praise God, dating people, whatever. All right, look. When you found the girl or the guy, right? Did you care what people thought when you were kissing them in public? Why? Love. Or we'll just stick with love. Okay. You loved them. You didn't care what people thought of you. When you experience the love of your Heavenly Father, you too won't care what other people think. When my life and I ran head on into my Heavenly Father and realized I wasn't even in prison anymore. I wasn't broken like a mare or something like that, to my spirit unwilling to move or breathe. I was freed to live the life that He created me to live. And I had people, I had my very own wife come and visit me and look at me and say, I don't know what happened to you, but I like it. It's the love of the Father. You see, when you engage yourself and willingly say, I am not perfect, but I break myself. I bow down and I give myself to you. I'm broken to be used and to be whatever it is that you want me to do. Then you don't care who or what happens in your life. You live the life that God's created you to live because you've experienced a love of the Father that's amazing. It's an amazing gift to experience the love of the Father. The Bible says in Romans 8, 37 through 39, It says, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory. Thank you. Through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond any doubt, I am sure of this one thing, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you realize, church, how much our Father loves us, that nothing can separate. There ain't a bar, a strip club, an addiction, or anything that'll keep you away from the love of the Father. That's how much He loves you guys. That's how much He loves us. That's what we get to share with the world. A love, man, that nothing can draw us out of our Father's hand. Oh my gosh. Why? Why this love? So we can tell our family. So we can tell our community. So we can tell others. It's okay that you're not perfect. It's okay that you're real. Our Father's love is real too. It's okay that you're confused and you don't know what direction to go. That's okay because my Father has a purpose for your life. It's okay that we get to live the life that we were created to live. It's not about us, church. This life that we live currently right now is such a small grain of sand on a beach compared to eternity. Tiny speck of time. And our Father in heaven says, man, it's so much bigger. That's why He loves us. There's a story in John chapter 4. I'm not going to go through all of it, but I'm going to paraphrase. It's a good time to read or to study on your own. John chapter 4, verses 6 through 40. It's quite a bit of a story. Some of you might have heard of it. It's Jesus had just got done preaching and kind of really like slamming the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were the religious people of the time. And He kind of got in their face and kind of, you know, dealt with some issues on His life, their life. Then He's on His way. He goes through a town called Samaria. Now, if you don't know the history of the Jewish people, Samaritans were considered unclean. So as a Jew, you weren't allowed to like hang out with Samaritans. Y'all didn't party together. Y'all didn't, you know, invite each other over and have barbecues or anything like that. Samaritans were off limits. But Jesus, being Jesus, He's going through this town called Samaria, and He comes, He gets thirsty. Apparently, I love that analogy because it shows the humanness of Christ. And He stops at the well where there's a woman there. And begins this conversation with this woman, which is an amazing conversation. Because you hear this bickering, not really a bickering, but just kind of this debating thing happening between the woman who is comfortable in her position that the Jews don't like her. Matter of fact, as Jesus comes to the well, he tells the woman, hey, draw me out some water that I might get a drink. So there's something about Jesus that she recognized that he was a Jew, because she responds with, do you know who I am? If you knew who I was and who you're asking me to draw you water, you wouldn't ask me. Jesus retorts and says, if you knew who I was, you would draw me a cup of water. All right? And they get in this little argument back and forth. But what I love about the story is that as they're going back and forth, and Jesus in love takes this woman on a journey, not identifying herself, but understanding who he is and the value that he has for her life is amazing. Matter of fact, the disciples are rolling up on the scene. And so I don't know if it's like they're coming up and going, all right, where's this Jesus at now, man? He's always disappearing. We got a schedule to keep. And he walks in here and he looks out and they see Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman and they look at each other. Okay, remember now, this is the Son of God. They know he's the Son of God. And they go, does he not know who's he talking to? Yeah, Jesus had a slip up. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know that, you know what I mean? We do the same thing. But anyhow, in this conversation with this woman comes the discussion about her past. Discussion of, Jesus checks her heart, says, go get your husband. The one at the well says, I don't really have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. As a matter of fact, you've been married 4 times and the man you're with right now is not your husband. Now, again, draw back into the tradition of the time, and that was kind of like a bad deal. Back in them days, you got married once, one time only. You didn't kind of jump from here to here to here to here to here. But notice that Jesus doesn't check her on all that stuff. He's just showing her, I know you. I know your life. When he says this to her, she stops and she goes, I perceive you to be a prophet. Really? And Jesus said, look, the water in this well, oh man, it'll quench your physical thirst but for a moment, and it's going to go away. He said, but if you drink from the well that I have, you will never, ever thirst again. The reason why some of you in here are thirsty is because you haven't experienced the real water from the real well. You think it's your past that holds you back. You think it's you. You think you're not perfect. You're not well enough. You're not good enough. God says, you're fine. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Now look, what does she do? Jesus ministered to her, and I love what she does next. She didn't sit at Jesus' feet. Now, I know some of us, man, that's where we like to stay. She went back into her community. And she told the people, come check this dude out that I just found. Come check out this Jesus that I found. John 4:28-29, it says, then the woman left her jar. She needed water for her place apparently, but she left her responsibility. She left everything she was about and where she was going, what she thought she was supposed to be doing. She leaves it there. She goes into the town and she begins telling the people, verse 29, come. See a man who has told me everything that I ever did. Can this be? Is not this the Christ? Must not this be the Messiah, the anointed one? You're not surprising God. Our role is to be relieved when we discover this brokenness. Our role is to be relieved to live the life so that others can see this Jesus in us. That we can compel people to come, that we'll say, hey, come on, come discover this love. come discover where you don't have to put on a face. Man, I love what we talk about at Jubilee. We did Jubilee yesterday. It was amazing. And some of the stories you hear when you talk with people, like, what should I wear? Clothes. That's all we care about. But you know why they're asking? Because you go down to this church, you go to that church, and you got to have the suit and tie on, or you got to put your hair up in a bun, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. You got to look a certain part to be considered a Christian. You got to cover up you being a Samaritan and look like a Jew. And Jesus says, come on, I already know you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Come as you are. Experience his love. And you know how easy it is? It's so easy. All we have to do is ask for it. We say, God, I want to experience you more and more and more. And when you mess up, fess up. I love that. You mess up, fess up. You don't think he don't know? Come on, man. The Bible says in the book of James, it says, when we sin, confess it one to another that you might be healed. That you might be healed. Things didn't work out right. Confess. Start walking the life and living the life. Experience his love with you in your life, in your family. Church, when we discover this idea of brokenness, it doesn't mean that we wallow around in our self-pity. That's called contrite, having a contrite spirit. It means we had loss, or we're afraid, or something has happened in our life that's changed the way our emotional balance might be. The Bible says it's a contrite spirit. And if you actually go to the book of Isaiah, which prophesied about Jesus Christ, it says that he healed us from a contrite spirit. He healed us from a contrite spirit. We don't have to be controlled by that contrite spirit, that brokenness that we think is broken. We're healed from that so that we can live a broken life, a humble life, a human life, dedicated and committed to our Heavenly Father. That's what it means. So it doesn't mean we get to sit back and say, okay, I understand this now. I can do this thing. It means that now we step forward and we go, and like the woman at the well, we step away from the well, we put our water jar down, and we go and we compel people to come in. Because otherwise, church, all we're doing is becoming really fat, overweight Christians. Because we're eating at the table and we're not taking it out into the world. We have something that the world desperately needs. And it's not your judgment. It's not your religion. Real people. Real love. Real purpose. That's what you get here at Epic Life, and that's what you get to take out into the world. Heavenly Father, we want a real relationship with you. We want to experience your real presence in our life. Father, take away the self-doubt that we've created in our own self about your approval or disapproval of us. Help us to see our own lives as you see our life. Help us to experience a love like we've never experienced before. Heavenly Father, come. Come into our hearts. Come into our lives. Let us live a life of love through brokenness, a willingness to be used by you, a willingness. If you point something out in our hearts, in our life, we deal with it. For it is the love of God that leadeth men unto repentance. It's the love of the Father that says, you're my child. And maybe this morning some of you cannot say that. You can't say that Jesus, or that you're God's child. Maybe you're accustomed to listen to condemnation and guilt, and you're not worthy, and you're not this, and you're not that. And the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart right now and says, you're loved. You're valued. If you were the last person on, if you were the only person on this planet, Jesus Christ would still have to come and die for your sins so that you could be in right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus paid the price for you so that you wouldn't have to do it. Your performance. You can't perform good enough, church. I can't preach hard enough. I can't preach good enough to be what God's calling me to be. I have to surrender my life and allow a spirit of humility and brokenness to realize I need God in my life and I need Him to lead my life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I would love to pray for you. For some of you, it's just, you know something? I need to experience the love of the Father. For others, man, maybe you just need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time. Your Father loves you. He loves you, church. He loves you. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I want to experience your love. I want to experience your goodness. I surrender my will to you as an act of brokenness. Use me, Heavenly Father. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I just pray for each and every person in the sound of my voice today. I pray, Father God, that you would impact them in such a way that would change their life forever. That it's okay to be real. They can experience a real love. And Lord, guide us into your purpose for our lives, our church, our community, our work, our neighborhood, everything. Take control. Hallelujah.